It is good to be here. When I go somewhere, I always seem to introduce myself, and most commonly I introduce myself as Brother Roger Jones' grandson, which many of you know. Now I feel like since so many people have asked, yes, I am Bubba's son. So yeah. Scott Johnson is my dad. But it is good to be here. We do appreciate the hospitality of Home Baptist Church and the room and all the accommodations, and we just appreciate the opportunity to be here. If you would, turn with me to Matthew chapter 26. I'm usually right on 45 to 50 minutes, and I'm really going to struggle to get to 25, so we're going to move quickly today. Our text, Matthew 26, we're going to look at verses 36 through 42. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful. Even unto death, tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little further, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again a second time, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drank it, thy will be done. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to be here. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to come out of this world, Lord, to come into your church and to fellowship together, Lord, and to hear your word. Lord, I just pray that this message would be honor and glorifying to you. Lord, I pray that you would humble me in all things and allow us all to gain some knowledge, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I've entitled this message, A Sweet Surrender. I told Brother Lafferty I was pretty settled on this message, but it wasn't until Brother Lafferty brought his message that it really made me think of how well the Lord works together on his word and the way he has his messages prepared. But Brother Lafferty, asked, What will it take to bring you to your knees? And I ask you today for a sweet surrender. And I'm here to say that we need a sweet surrender. Amen. I have 3 points to go over. Our first point for you note takers is our flesh is weak. We see here, and we've been studying a lot of this type of passage in our church, and really there's so much context, and it's so dense, and it's so hard to get through. And if you have to really know the story before to really get a good indication. And really, we're talking about the last days of Jesus Christ here. And we know that Jesus knows that his time is drawing near. The Passover is now over. His ministry is over. And now it's all that's left is for Jesus to be crucified and scourged and rise again. I think it's so important for us to take notice that Jesus was a man. And oftentimes I think that it's easy for the world or even for myself, it takes so long to realize that Jesus was a true man. Jesus didn't just come. Jesus was all-powerful. But in order to die on the cross for our sins, Jesus had to come as a man. And he had to go through the same struggles that we as men have to go through today. Notice in verse 37, we see that Jesus, as a man, battles with that type of the type of feelings that we have today. I believe Jesus was in the flesh, he was weak and he was weary. We see that Jesus was a sinless man, but had to deal with the struggles of our sin nature. I believe Jesus was very sorrowful. I don't believe Jesus was scared to fulfill the prophecy. But certainly put yourself in the position and think that we certainly probably would be scared to die. How often are we scared to die? I wrote down in the back of my notes, and it's probably a better time to say it, but I'll ask another question, and I'm going to pose a few to you. Right now, are you dying to live your life for yourself, or are you living to die and be with Christ? I think that's so important to consider that. But in verse 37, it says that he took him with Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be very sorrowful. Began to be sorrowful. Jesus had great sorrow, for he knew he would unjustly be persecuted for the sins of his people. It would cost him his life. And be very heavy. I believe Jesus had great agony. I believe in that position, I'm very anxious. I'm a very anxious person. I believe that in that position, I would be very anxious. And it wasn't until my wife introduced me to essential oils that she thinks it helps all. But it does help some. But I believe that I would have been very anxious. And I certainly think that Jesus possibly could have been in the flesh too. Even though he had all power, he still had to feel that. Let's go to verse 38. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful. Even unto death, tarry ye here and watch with me. We see Christ as commanding the disciples to stay right here. Peter, James, and John is who he would have had with him. And I believe at that point we see Jesus on his knees. That comment was made already in some of our preaching. What is it going to take to get us to our knees? Christ was God, but he was in a man's form. He's being forsaken by God to go to the cross and die for sinners. Christ had no reason to be there. We should have been there. I recently read an article of a man. He was accused of assault. He was 18 years old. He was one of the top football recruits in the nation. He was accused of assault, and 8 years later, this person that accused him of assault came out on Facebook and said that nothing actually happened. And I thought of that man in the sense of, you know, he might have lost 6-8 years of his life and his potential to go play professional football, but Jesus gave his whole life up sinless for our souls. And it's such a blessing to me to think of what Jesus went through for me. You know, and that man broke down in tears as he was asked to drop the trial. And I just think of how mad I would be if something like that happened. But Jesus went willingly. Verse 39, let's read that close. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible to let this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Again, Jesus is falling on his face in prayer. I believe this was a time of great prayer. There's some other passages that make points to Jesus sweat great drops of blood. This is Jesus in that prayer that we were talking about that doesn't happen. We as Christians don't pray more than 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 minutes. And I believe Jesus spent this great time praying. We see that, let this cup pass from me. The cup is referred to, it's a Hebrew saying. It's a divine appointment or fortune. It's something that was inevitable. It was always a part of the plan for Jesus to go to the cross, but yet in flesh, Jesus was asking if there is another way. Now, something I came across, I'm not going to mention the name because I don't know anything about this man and don't like to promote men's work, but it was a good statement. I want you to consider this. We must remember that our Savior, though he was the Son of God, was also the Son of Man, and as such, he was subject to all the infirmities which belong to human nature. It was not to be expected from him, as he was man, that he should show no unwillingness to suffer, but that he should conquer that unwillingness, rest in the divine appointments. I want to stop there for a second. It is so important when you notice that he should conquer that unwillingness. That's his surrender. That's that sweet surrender. And make God's choice his own. Our Lord's prayer, therefore, to be accused from his portion of suffering was not disparagement either from his obedience to God or his love of man, but in truth a higher commendation of both, since notwithstanding so strong a sense of what he was about to undergo, He freely gave himself up to sufferings. He freely gave himself up to sufferings. If you're here and lost today, Jesus went to the cross to save your soul.
Amen.
And if you're here and you're saved and you're not right, you need to get right. You need to surrender. And I'm not going to read the rest. I want to notice verse 40. This is my second point of the message. Verse 40, let's read it quick. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and said unto Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Folks, in time of trouble, in the worst kind of trouble, we cannot find comfort in flesh. Yeah. So many times, I have a coworker that I worked with, that he's my age. We graduated high school together. We went to kindergarten together. We were in school together all the way up. And he worked with me. For those of you who don't know, you're going to get a laugh out of this. Everyone does. I claim to be a Baptist preacher and a car salesman. I know I don't have to repent for what I do. So, but he was very good at what he did. But he could not get away from a certain type of drug. And I witnessed to him and witnessed to him and witnessed to him. And we ended up having to let him go. And in this time of great trouble and great torment in his life, he's just going to counselor after counselor after counselor. And he won't adhere to the Word of God. And he won't adhere to the things of God. And I'm here to tell you, it doesn't matter what your struggle is, you can't find comfort in flesh. Whatever you're here going through, whatever is going on in your life, you cannot find comfort in someone else, but you can find comfort in God. Verse 40, Christ has been in great agony and very, very serious prayer. When he gets done praying, he comes back to Peter, James, and John and finds them asleep. Certainly, we're talking about the disciples. And you talk about Peter and James and John, and these are men that said they'd die for the cause of Christ. And this is something where Christ clearly is just so overwhelmingly troubled. And we see that they're tired, and that they're asleep, and they're not watching for Christ. They're not even praying with Christ. So again, I say you can't find comfort in flesh. I think it's important to notice the carelessness of man, and especially the carelessness of man when trouble is near. I think that is the kind of the carelessness of man is the kind of support we can expect in anything that goes forward. I think that you know, we try to find that companionship and comfort. You know, when you sometimes someone's going down, they want to bring others with them, right? Or sometimes they want to feel like even though they're going down, that they want to surround themselves with people. You know, we as people surround ourselves with people similar to us and in similar situations as us. But that doesn't always work. We ought to surround ourselves to the Lord. Amen. Give ourselves up to the Lord Jesus Christ. I look at the passage and think that, you know, Christ, I can see Christ, you know, afar off praying, and I'm trying not to dramatize it too much, but I can see him far off praying, and I can see Peter, James, and John, they're tired. I mean, this is the late hours of the night into the hours of the morning, I believe, and I can see them sleeping. And I think that Christ was either, maybe he was trying to surround himself with people, maybe he was having them watch out for him to be given up. Whatever the reason, they didn't seem to think it was that important. They seemed to please their own needs. And that's man. That's our depravity. Amen. Folks, if you have something going on and you look to men, they're going to come first before you. I don't think Christ needed the support. We know Christ didn't need the support. But I think his flesh desired a little bit of companionship. Go to verse 41 with me. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. I believe Christ is rebuking the disciples for being weak in the flesh and looking to appease flesh in a time of fatigue, rather than pray to God for the power to overcome that. Christ is saying that there is no suffering currently. Why How do you expect to get through the suffering when it comes if you can't even get through this time of prayer when there's no suffering? You know, when you read this verse, you know, I believe Christ is saying that they need to ask for power to prevail in the times of being weak. And if you read the verse, in verse 41, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. I believe that's a perfect picture of how we live our lives, right? We're here, and we're here from Tuesday night to Thursday night, okay? And then Friday, if you go home Friday, or whatever day you go home, you enter back into the world. And our flesh is weak. We're willing. We want to act on the things that we were given. We want to make a difference, but we want to let our light shine bright. But when it comes back time to step out into the world, we're back.
Right.
And we're back to our old weak flesh. And I believe that was where the disciples were. We have to seek God. We have to surrender our lives before God in order to find that strength. You know, there's been men before us. I look at men before me, and there's been men before me who I believe have consistently surrendered their life before the Lord Jesus Christ. We had a dear member of ours and pastor of the church up in Traverse, Brother J.R. Bourne, which I'm sure many of you know, was a man that I felt, I just loved to watch him. For a man that was in his physical condition, he never stopped smiling. And he was one that I believe just sought after the Lord every day of his life. And he would tell you that it didn't get any easier. I'm glad it did because I'm learning that slowly. But I think we need to be more like that. We need to have that spirit to be chased after the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I'm getting ahead of myself. But Christ says that they had good intentions and they wanted to do right in the sight of the Lord. But the flesh was too weak. And in order to preserve the pain and danger, which sounds like something that we would be up to too, they would go away from it. And I think that I think that's an important point. You know, how are we going to act? Are we going to surrender to the Lord in the time of pain and danger? It was the thought just came to my mind, if we were on our deathbed, during the last sermon, I guess the thought came to mind, if we were on our deathbed, what would we do? If we knew we were going to die in an hour, are we going to spend that time in seeing our family? You know, it'd be hard for me. I got my son's 18 months old, and I love him. I love my wife. And I think, what would I do? Would I sit there and you know, talk to my wife, talk to my son, try to get things in order? Probably, unfortunately, when I should be praying to the Lord, and I should be getting ready to go home. I think that's something we all should think of. But how many of us today, I ask the question again, how many of us want to do right but fall right back into the old ways? It seems like we get that build and we just, you know, you hear a good message and you just want to take off. You want to do right. And as soon as we get right back to the world, all things go downhill. And I believe we need to surrender. I'm not going to continue to read on the last couple of verses, but if you see the other two times that Christ goes away to pray, the disciples are still sleeping. They continue to take care of themselves. They continue to please the flesh. Ultimately, Christ is given up and betrayed by Judas, and the commandment was fulfilled for Christ to go to the cross. But we see that we cannot find comfort in flesh. Our flesh is always going to let us down. You know, you get the old warm fuzzies when someone tells you, you know, I've got your back. You know, I've got your back. I'm not going to let you down. You know, I'll always be there for you. You kids, take real close note of what I'm saying. If someone tells you, I've got your back and I'm always going to be there for you, they're lying. Okay? I'm telling you that. Your friends that you think are your friends now that you maybe you are, you know, I went to public school. I went to a public school. I had a graduating class of 175 kids, right? I don't see but one of them now, and I'm okay with that. But these relationships that you have from younger, when you feel like that you have to be really close to these people and you're just always going to have their backs, they're lying. They're not. Let's go to our third point. Flesh has a need for surrender. What's it going to take to bring you to your knees? Brother Lafferty said, what's going to have to happen? A couple deaths? What if you die before you surrender? If you're here and lost today, what if you die before you surrender? You're young, you don't have to worry about dying, right? I worked in healthcare for 4 years in the emergency department, and I can relate to Brother Lafferty. I didn't have to go tell anyone that their loved one had passed away, but I seen plenty of 20-somethings that had either committed suicide, had a drug overdose, or were killed in a car accident. And I remember putting a 6-month-old baby in a bag, and that will change your life.
Right.
And it will tell you how precious life is. And if you are here and you're lost today, we don't have a promise that I'm going to even get through this message.
Yeah.
We don't have 2 seconds from now. We don't have a minute from now. We don't have 15 minutes from now. All you have is right now.
Amen.
And if you're here and lost today, it is the commandment to surrender before the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're here and you're saved and you're not right, you should surrender.
Amen.
You should surrender your life back to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm up here and I say that. And it's, you know, when I was young, it's like, well, the preachers always say that, but you know, they're all perfect. Preachers aren't all perfect. But I started to preach 2 years ago. And I studied. And I've chased after the Lord. But about 6 months ago, it seemed like I felt myself far away. And as we've talked about again, it's a common theme of this message, you know. Brother Lafferty said it about chasing after the money and wealth and what do you want to do? You want to prosper. I had a different job coming up, and I started chasing that. And I started chasing that. And the company I work for, the man I work for, is a great man. He's a Baptist. He's a Southern Baptist, so he's off on some things. But I started chasing after that. And I forgot that 2 years ago, I surrendered to preach. And I started focusing on the stuff that didn't matter. And I don't say this to be stiff, and I don't say this to be self-exalting, but I feel like I re-surrendered my life to the Lord. And it wouldn't matter if I lost my job today. I know the Lord would take care of me.
Amen.
And my number one job is to the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I think it's important to say that there is no one here that is insignificant, that is unable. You know, for the longest time, since I've been surrendered to preach, I was thinking, well, I don't know as much as my pastor. I don't know as much as Brother Gordon. I don't know as much as, you know, whatever. But folks, you don't start here. You have to start down here and go this way. You don't automatically become a preacher and know it all. And if you do, you need to go back to basics. You know? It just doesn't work that way. So if you're here and you're struggling and you feel like the Lord may be calling you, or you feel like you just don't know what to do, or you're too insignificant, just surrender yourself to the Lord.
Amen.
Let Him take care of it.
Amen.
The Lord won't fail you. The Lord will show you the way.
Amen.
I'm getting ahead of myself again. Verse number 42. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. We see Christ fully surrenders himself to the will of God. What a blessing. What a blessing. Think about how much prayer and meditating on the things of God Jesus needed as a man to live the life he did. And I say that, remember folks, Jesus was all powerful, but Jesus was a man. Jesus had the same struggles that we as men, I believe, had today. I believe it was necessary. I believe when I say struggles, Jesus had sickness, or he had any excuse that may keep you away from church, right? Or the things of the Lord. I believe Jesus had to feel it all. That's my personal belief, and I might be wrong, but we see Jesus needed to pray to the Lord so he would surrender. He had to help in that flesh. His soul was willing, but the flesh was weak. And he had to surrender his life to go before the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to notice Titus chapter 2 really quick. It's really different from me preaching and not using a bunch of scripture. But I knew Brother Bourne was after me, and he's usually sword drill with him, so I wanted to give you a break. Titus chapter 2 and verse 12. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world.
Amen.
We need to be serious about living our life for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, why are we here today? You young folks, spouses, members of Home Baptist Church, why are you here? Are you here because it's the annual conference? Are you here because you come every year and you've been here for the last 30 years or however many years it's been going on? Are you here because your parents brought you? Are you here because your spouse wanted to come? Why are you here? We should be here to honor and glorify the Lord, and we should be here to get something, to take away, surrender our lives to the Lord, and then go ahead, let our light shine bright for the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in order for us to grow in our life with Christ, we are to constantly surrender before the Lord. Whether you're a preacher, a pastor, or a church member, I believe every day is a surrender. I believe every day we ought to be chasing the Lord. My pastor said it in a message on Sunday. When you stop chasing the Lord, bad things start happening. He didn't say it in those words, but that's exactly right. When we stop chasing after the Lord and we start chasing after our own things and the things of our own heart, we start falling backwards. I have three questions to ask of you in closing. Have you ever truly surrendered your life, your soul, and your spirit before Lord Jesus Christ in salvation? If you haven't, the time is now. Like we said before, we don't have any guarantee that Brother Dan's going to get to come up here and give you an invitation. The Lord might come back before then. We talked about that today too. We don't have that guarantee. Are you dying to live your life for yourself, or are you living to die with Christ? If you're living to die with Christ, you're surrendering daily. But if you're living your life for yourself, for your own benefit, for your own growth, you need to surrender your life before He comes back. Amen. And in closing, when is the last time you can say you've had a sweet surrender for the Lord Jesus Christ and with the Lord Jesus Christ? If you haven't, I say that you need to surrender your life before Jesus Christ while you still can. Seek the Lord while He may be found.
Amen.